Okay. Well, just to say, if anybody gets a bit fidgety in the knees, there's either a play area at the back or there's a creche downstairs. But I need some help. I need some young people. Come to the front here. I need you handy because we've got lots to do. Jacob, are you going to come join us? I need you. You're going to be my special helper today. Come up. Look at this man. Doesn't he look handsome? I wish I could wear a pair of shorts and braces like that. I'm tempted to, though. But not today. Anyway, Jacob, you're going to help me. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the book of Philippians. And the Philippians, well, they've been challenged, they've been encouraged, and everything is Jesus-focused, okay? For Paul, as he writes to the Philippians, he says, I just want you to remember Jesus. Come to the front. Here you go. Jacob, I've got a joke for you. Once upon a time, there was, it's not a once upon a time story, it's a joke. Ashworth, okay, remember. Okay, it was down in Sunday school or junior church, and the Sunday school teacher was describing to these children, saying, what is small, fluffy, has a bushy tail, and eats nuts? And the Sunday school child says, climbs up a tree, it's a bit like this. Bushy tail. What's it sound like? Not sure. Well, do you know what? That's exactly what the child says. It sounds like a squirrel, but I know the answer's Jesus. And the truth is this. Actually, if you answer the question with Jesus, you cannot go too far wrong. This whole letter has been all about Jesus. Okay, we're going to get them working. Should we get them working? Here we go. You can be with them. You see, in Paul's letter, the Philippians, he does loads of things. He describes his readers as saints in
Jesus.
Yes! You can help him out in a minute. Here we go. He speaks of the coming day of
Jesus.
Yes. You could join in if you want to. He speaks of the love of
Jesus.
He speaks of the fruit of He does not care about what people talk about as long as they talk about
Jesus.
So it's no surprise that to live is
Jesus.
And to die is gain. And that you should live a life worthy of
Jesus.
Following the example of
Jesus.
What is the gospel mindset? It's being humble like
Jesus.
What's the gospel manner? It's being obedient like
Jesus.
And the answer is not a squirrel, it's Jesus. That's what Philippians is all about. It's all about Jesus. So it's not a surprise when I talk about this next bit, what's going to be the answer?
Jesus.
Give him a round of applause. Sit down there for 2 seconds. You see, when people ask about what being a Christian is like, the answer is Jesus, Christian, Christ. That's the clue, okay? You cannot go too far wrong if you look at Jesus. And that's what Philippians does time and time again. It looks at Jesus. But it describes the Christian life in 4 different ways, or at least we're going to try and do that. And this is where I need your help. Okay. For later. Okay, I'm going to turn you into. Here we go. I need 3 more. 1, 2. Anybody else? Come. All right, I'm going to. That way around. Number one. Ooh. Here we go. Oh, you look pretty smarty. Here we go. Look at that. Put that on. Arms through there. Look at you. Brilliant. I apologise in advance. All right. We're going to put these just over your shoulder. Yeah, I know you've got trainers on already, but it'll help with the parents. It's an illustration. All right. Here we go there. Okay. If they start stinking, then remove them. All right. And last but not least, who is there? Are you going to come up and help me? Come and help me. Okay, you come and sit down here and hold on to that because that's really heavy. Okay, Ted, you go and sit there next to Finley. Why don't you come sit over there as well? Here we go. And when I ask you to stand up, okay, but you hold on to that. That's Jacob, keep an eye on him and his. Right, Maisie, go to the top. Okay, 4 pictures that help us in Philippians. You probably didn't spot the sumo suit in the passage. So if you've got a Bible, do have a look. You still don't believe me that the sumo suit's in the passage? It's not, it really isn't. But anyway, look at the passage anyway.
But let me tell you about four things, four images we've got that Paul encourages people to think about. Number one, here we go. What was your name again? Ted. Ted. Number one is this. Workout. Ted. Oh, yes! He's amazing. Now, everybody knows that joining a gym is easy, isn't it? Joining a gym is easy. Anybody could join a gym. Everybody joins a gym. But actually going to it's a very, very different thing. And going to it regularly and sticking with it. Now, Paul, similarly, he'd spent some time with the church in Philippi. And actually, when he was there, yes, they were going, yes, we'll work out our salvation with you. And when he left, it's not going to be as easy, is it, without Paul? It's been a bit of our coach, our bit of inspiration. Paul says this, work out your salvation. Work out your salvation, he says. You see, we've had this amazing picture of baptism. But we've been talking about baptism. It's not the end. It's not the finishing line. If I did this, here you go. Where's my runner? Brilliant. Here you go. Here's the medal. No, you can't have it. Why can't I give him the medal? Why can't I give him the medal? Because he hasn't actually, you haven't run the race yet. You can't have this now. Does that make sense? In the same way as a Christian, we don't get the medal at the beginning and then go, thanks very much. Baptism is the beginning of the race and the end is Jesus in glory. That's what we need to be aiming for, not just to start. Because anybody could sign up to the London Marathon, although you can't nowadays. It's really hard, isn't it? But most people can start a race. Anybody could start a gym. Everybody could come to church. It's actually finishing the race that really matters. Paul says, work out your salvation. Keep going. You cannot actually earn your salvation. Notice, it's not work for your salvation. Can you see the difference? It's massively different, okay? Working for your salvation means I do this and I've earned this, okay? Working out your salvation means I cannot earn it. I cannot do anything to gain it. But I've been given it as a gift. I now then live in the light of it, saying thanks. Can you see? It's like the cart and the horse thing. It's kind of going, look, at the end of the day, you need to realize that you cannot earn your salvation. Jesus has given it to you. Now you need to live for him. So he's given you the ticket to get to the gym. He's actually got you into the marathon. You need to turn up, and then you need to run the race. You need to go to the gym and keep working out. Do you see the difference? That is what Paul's saying here. Work out your salvation, not work for your salvation. That's the first picture. Second, our second picture is this. Here's the sumo suit. Maisie, you've put on a few pounds. Stand up. Oh, she's struggling. Here we go. The second thing is this. To be honest with you, this is a rubbish illustration, but it's the best I could do, okay? I'll tell you that now. And this is it. Work out your salvation as God works in you. And the best I could get is a bit like kind of Slimmer's World, which you probably need to go to because you look like that. But the picture is this. What goes in comes out. That's true, isn't it? You put healthy food in your body, and then you'll live a healthy life. That's generally kind of how it works-ish. I know there are people kind of going, didn't work for me. I went to Slimmer's World, it didn't work for me. No, that's the picture. God works in us as we work out. So we work out and use our muscles because God works in us. A bit like Slimmer's World, but far better. Because actually, at the end of the day, God working in us to work out our salvation is mind-blowing and way beyond a simple illustration where a young lady wears a sumo suit. But you get the point, don't you? The picture is this. Paul is saying, work out your salvation as God works in you. Isn't that great news? He works in you for your good pleasure, in order to do what God wants you to do. He's like a coach. He wants you to start and carry on. And it'll help you out in all the difficult areas. Brilliant. Sit down. Next one. Here we go. Come on over to Jacob. Come on then. Stand up. Come on, take me on. Oh, my goodness. Goodness, he took on a... I had nothing. I've got nothing, all right. But okay, easy, easy. All right, enough, enough. Okay, the third picture is this. It's a battle. Did you notice how he described Epaphroditus, my fellow soldier? Did you spot that? Paul says it's like a battle. Battles are not supposed to be easy. Battles are hard. And actually, your temptation and my temptation in life is to grumble when things are hard. It's to grumble. But actually, the Bible says this: do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. The picture is this, is that actually it's going to be a battle. There are loads of people out there who are not going to want you to carry on as a Christian. There's going to be loads of temptations and people who will take you off in different directions. But it, like a battle, like a soldier, fight on through as Paul did. Fight on through as Epaphroditus did. And do so with rejoicing, which is the picture that Paul gives us there. He says, verse 17, even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Picture is this. It's being a Christian's a bit like a battle. Sit down. Last one. Here we go. Here's my runner. And so, come and stand up. Here's my illustration. Hold on to just the laces. I wouldn't touch anything else. The race. He then says, and then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. Paul sees himself in a race. It's like a race we've been talking about. Not the beginning of the race, but actually in the middle of the race, and he wants to finish the race. Anybody can start a race. It's about finishing. So the question is this. Will we, like Paul, think about the Christian life in these terms? Will we think and remember it's about working out your salvation, not for your salvation? It's about actually God working in you as if you kind of joined up to Jesus' world or something like that. I don't know what illustration would help. But he works in you like good healthy food to work out your salvation. And this picture of it being a battle, and it's not going to be easy, it's going to be a fight, and you're going to have decisions to make. But actually, that's the picture that Philippians gives us. And lastly, it's a race that needs to be run. Jesus has got us in the race. Actually, he's on our team and he's won the race, I guess. That's a helpful picture. But we still need to finish the race and finish it well. You do all of this, and then you will shine like a star. Last illustration. Here we go. Come up to the front. You can sit down. Brilliant. Come, Lana. Well read. Esther, come and help me. When I think about shining, I kind of thought of this lantern. And then I thought how pathetic it looked with the sun shining. So what I thought was this, is I thought we'd do the illustration a little better. Here we go. Was that a picture of? It's a picture of a ping pong ball with a world drawn on it, okay? Imagine how amazing and big the sun is in comparison to the world, okay? Can you see how much greater, 109 times greater is the sun? If you want to think about shining, think sun, not little lantern. But then, do you remember how big is the sun? It is actually pretty small and average, kind of averagey small star. It's not even very big, to be honest with you. It may look big, but it's nowhere near as big as how great God can make us shine like stars in the universe. When God said, I want you to shine like a star, I think he was thinking bigger than the sun. More effective. If you think of the impact of the sun on the world and how it keeps us all nice and warm, just think how much greater is the light that God can shine in and through our lives. And therefore, at the end of the day, where's Jacob? Come back here, stand up. If you want to remember one thing about what Philippians is all about, it is all about...
fighting.
No, not fighting! Oh! We were doing so well! Okay. Can you rewind that bit? It's Great, we'll clear. Okay, here we go. If there is one thing that you want to remember in Philippians, it is all about
Jesus.
Yes! And so if you want to remember, work out your salvation as Jesus did. He didn't work for his salvation, but actually there's a sense in which he worked out his salvation. He lived the life. Okay? That's the example we should look at. If you want to think about Jesus, you think about actually God working in him and through him, the Spirit, what are the Trinity and the amazing work. That's the same for us. If you want to think about this running the race, as Jesus ran the race, it was tough. It was like a battle at times. In fact, it took him to his death, but then to his resurrection in everything. Finley and Jacob, today on your baptism, boys and girls, mums and dads, all of us, let's work out our salvation as Christ works in us so that we may shine even brighter than the stars. Let's pray. Thank you. Hands together, eyes closed, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this picture and reminder that we can work out our salvation. Keep looking at Jesus shining brightly as he did. We can do the same today. Thank you that he is one for us. He is the one who is completed. We can look at him. And we can trust in him and have faith in him. Help us to shine in our homes, in our families, in our workplaces, in our schools, that we would delight in you and keep pointing to Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. I agree, amen.